Psalm 18 and Psalms 40. Psalms 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And in Psalms 40 and verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. What two great verses from the pen of the prophet or the psalmist that the Lord gave to him. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. And I thank you that you are our rock and our high tower. You are our keeper. Praise God, you're always with us. And this morning we just heard Johnny read a portion and allow us to look into heaven, where you're sitting on the throne and men are bowing down before you. And it's a glorious scene, and a scene that's going to take place in the future when the church is raptured up to be in your presence and to become the bride of Christ and to rule and to reign with you for eternity. Oh, that everyone in this sanctuary today could catch a glimpse of what's waiting for them when we're taken out of this world of woe and sorrow and suffering and pain, and we're brought into a place where there's no death, no fear, where we'll live forever in a glorious environment. And it'll be an environment of love. And we'll be welcome there to spend eternity. Oh, may we all pause in our hearts and grasp this. May with arms of faith we embrace it. The glorious future awaiting all wise enough to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me stand here today, Lord. I'm nothing. I'm helpless. I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk about he climbed the highest mountain. How many of y'all have been to the mountains? Been to the mountains? You ever tried to climb up them hillsides some? It gets kind of tiring after a while, doesn't it? Especially when you're a little aged. Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world, I'm told, at over 29,000 feet. That's over 7 miles high. Although some 5,000 people have successfully climbed it, 200 have died trying to. When Moses climbed Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God, it was the highest demand ever imposed upon man. The highest demand ever imposed upon man. And you'll understand that as we go along this morning. When he climbed up Mount Sinai, what was going to happen? He was going to get the law of God, what God demands from everybody. The Ten Commandments. You ever read the Ten Commandments? Sonny, I was over 7,000 feet. That was a long way from 29,000, wasn't it? But the demands that was coming from Mount Sinai is staggering, because we're going to get the law of God, what God demands from everybody. These commands were the demands of God for man to keep. I want you to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20 this morning. It may take us a little bit of time. Never go wrong reading the Word of God. In Exodus 20, beginning at verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And now listen, and think about this when I read this. God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. What does that mean, preacher? That means there's nothing else more important to you than God. Not even your mama or your daddy or your children. God demands to be number one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God. And God is jealous, folks. More jealous than you women. Are you men? God visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, even a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me. And we got churches today that's got little statues where they kiss them, bow down to them. God says, don't you do that. Amen. And pictures, so-called pictures of Jesus, and by the way, nobody's ever took a picture of Jesus Christ. They don't know what he looks like. But you're not supposed to worship them pictures either. Verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Better not misuse the Lord's name. What about these people that have other word is GD? God says, you are guilty, and I'm not going to overlook that. Now, God will forgive if you repent and get saved. Number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God appointed one day to come worship him. Back in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's day. You know, God don't need you here today. Did you know that? God don't need you. You know, well, why did I got to come? Because you need to be here. You need to hear what God says. I'm talking to you, preacher. And that's true. Verse 10, but the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughters, thy maidservants, nor thy maidservants, manservants or maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, by the way, the 6 days mentioned there is the same word used back in Genesis when God first made, the 6 days, 24-hour days. It's not ages. It's days like we know today. The Bible says what it means. It means what it says in its context. I made it in 6 days, and for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them is, and the rest is the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy day, listen to this, this was a promise. God says, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor your mom and daddy can add days to your life here. I've outlived both my mom and my daddy. Thou shalt not kill except flies. Amen. And God gave a command about this killing business. God says if you kill somebody on purpose, meditate to kill somebody, you forfeit your life. And that's never been rescinded in the Bible. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or Cadillac, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That's the Ten Commandments. Now, we don't live under the Ten Commandments per se. Today, we live in the age of grace. But those Ten Commandments, I'm going to be talking about in our message today, why God gave them. And they're good for us today, too. And they ought to be in every schoolhouse, in every classroom. The Bible says that the Ten Commandments was imposed upon man to show man that he's a sinner. God says, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And because you can't keep these Ten Commandments shows you're a sinner. Therefore, you can't go live with God in that place where Johnny just read about, because you're a sinner. God's not going to allow sinners in his presence. So he gave the Ten Commandments to make you understand you're a sinner. Something's got to be done about it. Did you know if you kept the Ten Commandments, you still couldn't go to heaven? You're not going to be saved by what you do. Of course, you're not going to keep the Ten Commandments. We've all broke the first one. So now we're in a pitiful condition. We're condemned. Please listen to the rest of the message. Keeping the law won't save a person. Law don't save. But we need to know what God demand is, and he give it to us. Just like someone living by the summer on the mount in the New Testament won't save that person. Secondly, because man's a sinner, he can't keep the law. That's the reason he can't keep the thing. He's a sinner. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees all thought, listen to me carefully, they thought because they were God's chosen people and keeping and observing rituals and ceremonies, we go to the tabernacle, we go to the temple, or today we go to church. That makes me all right. I go to church. No, it don't. Keeping rules and regulations and ceremonies don't get you right with God. The Pharisees tried all that. You know what the Bible says about them kind of people thinking that way? Your righteousness is like filthy rags. Unacceptable. Doing don't make you right with God. Hold on, I'll get to the good part in a minute. In Matthew 23, please turn. This is why I want you to bring your Bible. Matthew 23. This is important. In Matthew 23, look down at verse 25. And Jesus speaking, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees." This is the religious people. Hey, folks, these are the conservative ones. Jesus said, "You're hypocrites. For you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and extent. You have on all these white robes, and you look so dignified, and you look so holy, and you act so holy." Jesus says, "You're hypocrites. What's on the outside don't make you right with God." He's going to tell you in a minute what's going to make you right with God. "Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside then may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, all of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear unrighteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Today someone says, "I'm a church member and I've been going to that church 50 years. So I pay tithes, I believe the Bible, I believe Jesus died on the cross, I believe God loves me, so I'm okay." Not really. Not really. Have you been born again? You got to be born again. You can't look churchy. You can't be just churchy on Sunday and live different on Monday. To be saved, one has to be born again. Self-righteousness does not and will not save anyone. And Jesus was having to deal with those religious people because they thought they were okay. Nicodemus come running to Jesus by night. He thought he was all right. He was a religious man. Jesus said, "Wait a minute here. You got to be born again, man." Just like the self-righteous religious leader, they got to be born again. The issue with keeping the law has to do with man and his heart problem. Jesus said, and we'll get to that in a little bit, about the problem with the heart. Galatians 3:10 and 11 states, "For as many as are the works of law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Jesus said, "You got to keep all the book of the law. If you don't, you're cursed." Well, nobody could keep that. "But no man is justified in the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live by faith." So Jesus is telling us a different principle here about how to be justified, not by keeping the Ten Commandments, not by keeping the Sermon on the Mount, not by coming to church. Jesus says you're justified by faith. Think about this. You can be saved, made right with God by faith by doing nothing except by believing in God's Son. But when you believe in God's Son, here's where most people seem to be missing it. When you believe in God's Son, that means you turn and start following Him. And you start obeying Him. Because as I heard that sermon this morning by Bill Monroe, Jesus is not just your Savior. He is your Lord, my Lord. He's our boss now. And what he tells me what to do in this book. Gravity still works, don't it? Jesus tells me what to do by this book. Not, I don't tell you what to do. If you're saved, Jesus is the Lord of your life. And I think too many times people miss this. And to know what Jesus says and wants, well, you need to be in church to learn, right? You need to be in Sunday school, 10 o'clock, right? I done it again, Lord. And you need to read this book. Because he's telling you how to live in this book. Now, I've been doing this for 82 years now, coming to church. And I'm just starting to learn. Not to disappoint you. You just can't go enough to get it all. There's so much of it. And the more you know, the better it gets. And the sweeter it is. The Mosaic Law, nor any other law, does not give life. It gives demands. But faith in the Son of God gives life. When you really repent of your sin, when you really say in your heart, Lord, I really am sorry, and you turn with determination and accept Jesus and commit yourself to Him, then you'll be saved. Then you'll be saved. And you're in a position to serve Him, to know Him. And you can really get to know Him. And it can surprise you how well you can get to know Him if you'll push on. Because the Bible says He'll reveal Himself to us if we'll obey Him. I'm going to tell you a little secret. There's no shortcut. There's no instant classes. No shortcuts and no instant classes. It's a lifelong pursuit. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, this is a great scripture too. Knowing that a man is not justified, and the word justified I've tried to tell you over and over, means as if you've never sinned when you are justified by God. It's like you've never sinned in your whole life. Even if you were 50 when you get saved, you're like you've never sinned when you get saved. You're justified in the sight of God. When I learned that years ago, I thought that was one of the most wonderful things to know. God don't hold anything against me now. I've been justified. And I'm going to tell you some more about it in a minute. It gets better, I hope. Knowing that a man's not justified by the works of the law, by keeping the commandments, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By being religious, you won't make it to heaven. God's not looking for a religious crowd. You don't have to act pious and stiff and afraid to move. God justifies us by faith in Jesus. So we can love Him and serve Him and enjoy Him. What I'm saying to you today is you don't have to climb a high mountain of the law. But believe on the Son of God upon Calvary's cross. And you can be made right with God, and you'll be given eternal life right now, and you're going to live forever with God somewhere for eternity. Eventually, we're coming back to the new earth that's going to be made, living in the new Jerusalem. Eventually. Man cannot keep God's law because man is a sinner by nature. When you were born, you were a born sinner. On your way to the devil's hell if you don't get saved from your mother's womb, a sinner. Here's the reason we're all like that. It's a heart problem, folks. Remember when Jesus was talking with His disciples about washing of hands? Here's what He said about that. In Matthew chapter 15 in your Bible, Matthew 15, Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding?" Don't you understand anything He said to His disciples? "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the trough? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile a man." What comes out of a man's mouth is what defiles a man. How do you talk? Use the Lord's word, a name in vain. You curse, swear, gossip, run your neighbor down. You see that little joke in the bulletin today? Don't look at it now. Wait at church. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles us. Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Do you have evil thoughts? You hate somebody? You spy somebody? Angry at somebody? It's a heart problem. There's something wrong with our heart. Jesus said, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." Matthew 15, 16 through 20. And the Pharisees and Sadducees fussing about, so Jesus and the disciples eating and didn't wash their hands. I've had to eat sometime not wash my hands. Have y'all? I bet you have. If you hadn't, you ought to join the army, because you will then. The issue with keeping the law has to do with man and his heart problem. Look at the heart of man, Jesus is saying. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. What I say is because of what's down here in my breast, my heart. Hundreds of years before the prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometime when you lay down at night, you lay down and just start looking and thinking about your heart and what you can think about that's not right. And you see what an evil heart we have. Because of a sin nature we have. You know, you can't do anything to get rid of it either. You can't wish it away. You can't educate it away or reform it away. So if a man cannot keep the law, why did God give the law to live by? God knew sinful man could not keep his law, and yet God proposed to save man by faith in someone else who fulfilled the law. Did you get that? God wants to save us, and he knew we couldn't keep the law, so he planned to save us by believing in someone who did keep the law. Do you understand that? God knew that there's going to be somebody that could keep the law, who could fulfill the law. That man couldn't, but he knew someone who could. And God was coming up with a plan where he could save all of us through someone who would keep it if we would believe in that one. Boy, isn't he a wise God? Isn't he a God of mercy and love and grace? It was the only way God could save us. Because we couldn't live good enough to save ourselves. Fact, truth is, we didn't none want to be saved till you hear the gospel. People don't want to be saved till they hear the gospel. And the Holy Spirit begins to draw them, work on them. Why? Because we're dead to God. We don't have no interest in God. We are not, it's not an empty faith, but a faith in one who literally kept the law of God. We've got to have a faith that's a real faith. We've got to believe in the one who kept God's law. In other words, God let someone else keep the law, and it was applied to us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the only way God could come up with a plan of salvation for us. Think about the literally millions. Yesterday we had a visitor for several days this week. He was watching a football game, and I was watching too. And them stands was full of people. They were like sardines. There were so many people there. They must still be there because there ain't none here yet, right? All those people. Think about all the peoples that's in the world. What if God hadn't had a plan of salvation? All those people will go to hell. Most of them's going anyway. That's the sad thing. God's come up with this plan of salvation where if you'll accept my son, you can live forever in paradise. But most people don't want that. Why? They're dead to God. Have no interest in God. They're more interested in football. They're more interested in something else out there in the world. They don't value their soul. They don't realize the importance of salvation. Satan's deceived them, folks. You ought to be jumping up and down this morning, and I had too, praising God that I've got to hear the gospel, and I've been saved, and I know it. I'm going to heaven, and I know it. And I'm almost there. In Matthew chapter 5, turn. Matthew 5. Jesus speaking. He's the law keeper. Matthew 5:17. Think not I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I didn't come to get rid of those things. By the way, the first five books of the Bible are about the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill, Jesus said. Jesus said, I've come to fulfill what God demands. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to live better than those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, Jesus said, to go to heaven. Being religious looking. Today we got people want to wear outfits to the pulpit. Make them feel religious or look religious. Folks, what you wear don't change you. It's your heart. What's going on in your heart? If Jesus had not fulfilled God's law, God would not approve of him as being the sacrificial lamb to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus kept God's command and qualified to be the perfect Lamb of God, John the Baptist says, to take away the sin of all the world. Everybody in the world could be saved by believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because Jesus Christ pay for the sins of the whole world. Think of that. What a death. But it's because of who Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ was God himself. It took God himself to come to beat the demand God demanded. Y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? What if he hadn't been willing to do that? It's scary to think about, because he wasn't obligated to do that. We have to know then, remember that Jesus is not just a man who had the same experiences in life we all had, but Jesus Christ was God Almighty in a human body, taking on a human nature, because only he could put away sin. God. Only he could make it possible we could be right with God. Nothing less than God could make us right with God, church. I don't believe most people understand this. The Bible says in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, talking about Jesus, he was God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. God humbled himself to come down to where we're at, folks, clothed in a human body, for the purpose of being spit on, mocked, beat, crucified, dying, in order to rescue my sinful soul, folks. My sinful soul. He didn't have to do that. And you mean I can now be casual as a Christian? No! I'm grateful. Are you grateful? Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, and he never complained. John said in John 1:14, the Word, which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God was made flesh. John said we beheld him. Oh, what a Savior we got, church. How much we're loved, church. The price that was paid for us, church. Why isn't everybody running to a good Bible church to get saved and love the Lord and serve the Lord and enjoy the Lord and one day go live with the Lord? I don't understand it. It was man in the beginning who broke the law of God. When Adam sinned. Think about what an opportunity Adam had. He was made in a perfect environment. Perfect. He had all these trees full of fruit. You can have all you want off of every tree except one, just one. Just the one in the middle. Leave that one alone. And that wife of his. That wife was out playing with the devil. And it's affecting you women today. A curse from it. You women. It's affecting us men too, isn't it? And when Adam ate that forbidden fruit, you see, he was the one God told. He didn't tell Eve. Adam told Eve. And then the devil outfoxed her. When Adam ate that forbidden fruit, right then, he had broke the law of God. God said, don't you eat from that tree. If he hadn't ate from that tree, he'd still be alive today. And looking just as young as ever. Now, because of what Jesus has did, one day we're going to look as young as ever. We're going to have more energy than we ever had, Brother Chavis. And we're going to it's never going to change. It's going to stay that way. It's going to be stabilized. Amen? Won't that be good? The Bible says, what God demanded, Jesus accomplished. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law was given for this purpose, like a schoolmaster, to show us we couldn't save ourselves and we needed Jesus, who offered to save us by faith. By faith. The law of faith. God, knowing no man could keep his law, and loving man so much, you don't understand how much you're loved today. We are not capable of understanding the love of God. He determined to save every person who would accept his son. He loves his son, folks. He determined to save every person that would accept his son by faith. not by doing anything, but by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Even the faith to believe is given to you when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. It's all of God, folks, our salvation. All we must do is take the faith He gives us and believe. What a God. The law says do, but grace says done. The law condemns us, but grace saves us. The law demands death, but grace gives life. Isn't that wonderful? Gives us life. It's our faith alone that unites us to Christ. Believing on Christ. When we repent of our sin and trust Jesus as our Savior, we become a new person. We're no longer, God's not going to deal with us as a sinner anymore. We're a new person. We're a new creation. God deals with us now as His children. The world can't see that, but God sees it, and we know it. We're His children. The Bible calls us, we're His dear children. And He's always with us if we're saved. Never leave us if we're saved. He didn't say you wouldn't go through hard times. Hard times helps us grow. Some people have harder times than others. It don't mean they're not as spiritual. They might be more spiritual. Amen? When we repent of our sin, we become a new person. We're no longer condemned. We've been given eternal life right then when we get saved. We're given eternal life right then. We're going to live forever somewhere in God's presence. Our past history is forgotten about. A new relationship with Jesus Christ has begun. So if you want to be on the highest mountain, higher than Mount Everest, get to know Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in 61:2, for the end of the earth will I cry, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Jesus Christ is that rock we need to build our lives upon because He's a solid rock. He's the one who will take us to heaven higher than any mountain. Amen. He's the one who suffered on the cross the agonies of hell for our redemption. He's the one who went down into death and conquered it the third day as He said He would. He's the one who's coming again to receive unto Himself all that's wise enough to repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are we supposed to do now? Love Him, serve Him, share Him, get His message out. That's what we're supposed to be trying to do here at Country Bible Baptist. Try to get other people involved, pray for other people, love one another. Amen. And the Bible says, what a Savior. What a Savior we have who would redeem us just by believing in Him as our personal Savior. May God challenge all of our hearts today. May we not be satisfied with being just a casual Christian, indifferent. Just hope I make it to heaven. No. Let's be excited loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Learning about the Lord. The more you know, the sweeter it is. And today at the end of this service, we invite anyone that knows not the Savior to accept Jesus Christ by faith. It's by faith, not by doing anything. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. then you ought to be in a good Bible church to learn about the Lord. Get baptized as commanded. Love the Lord and serve the Lord. Share the Lord. I tell you what, you won't ever regret it. Amen? As we stand together. What about you? You need to come talk to the Lord this morning at the altar?